Father, we thank you for your presence here, Lord. We thank you that we can boldly come to you, God. Today, Lord, that we can rejoice in your goodness towards us, Lord, and your sacrifice, Lord. And we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, we can just proclaim with Paul, Lord, that we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for whoever believes, Lord. And tonight, we thank you for that power of God, your power unto salvation at work in and through us, God. And Lord, we just come and submit to that, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that power to be real and active in us tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we cannot but be changed when we come into your presence, Lord, when we submit ourselves to your word, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to have your way in and through us. And let the name of Jesus be exalted in our midst, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to continue a little bit on what I touched on last week. Specifically, I'm going to specifically focus on one aspect. But just to recap a little bit, just a second, let me put this on. I've got a timer here that times when the oxygen is... There's no more oxygen in the room, so... The fail-safe, if this timer doesn't work, is that side of the room. If I see the people start passing out, I know I need to finish. Is that okay?
Okay, great.
So last week we started with a quote, and I'm going to just read it again just to recap from Bill Johnson. Can everybody hear me? The back? Can I go softer like this? Okay. And I'm just going to read this quote again just to recap. He wrote, "Jesus served with the heart of a king, but ruled with the heart of a servant. Royalty is my identity. Servanthood is my assignment. Intimacy with God is my life source. So before God, I'm intimate. Before people, I'm a servant. Before the powers of hell, I'm a ruler with no tolerance for the influence. And wisdom knows which role to fulfill at the proper time." So we looked at those three main aspects. We looked at our identity in Christ and what that means. And we looked at our role towards people in terms of servitude. And we looked at that place of intimacy before God, from which is our life source. And I remember always at Bible school when we talk about evangelism, and often people don't want to talk about that. But in any case... But then I remember what we used to say. We had to kind of, you know, break it up. And one of the things we did is identify our role in the evangelism process. And we used to say, we still do. We're starting Bible school again, by the way. If you're keen, it's going to be in Tooting on the St. George's campus, starting on the 11th of October. I did mention this before, right? I'm mentioning it again. So that's pretty soon. If you're keen to be involved there or to attend, please email us starting on the 11th. It's going to be every Thursday from 7 to 9, roughly, right? 7 to 9. And if you have done Bible school and you want to teach, now's the time, okay? It's a great blessing. I've never learned so much as when I have to teach something, okay? So I want to really encourage you. If you want to grow in the Word, this is the way to go. So please contact us about that. But what we just said then is that it's God's role to draw people. He draws, okay? God the Father draws people unto Himself. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We can't convict people. The Holy Spirit convicts. And it's our job to love people. So, but I think we're knowing that I don't know, it's maybe a bit vague for some of us. One detail. What does that mean? How do I love someone? You know, how do I love somebody into the kingdom type of thing? And I believe servitude, this assignment of servitude that we have, is a key for us to serve people through the love of God and to love people by serving. So that's, we're going to touch on a little bit on that tonight and look a little bit more at that. Okay, so in Galatians chapter 5, we did mention last week, verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So right there we see the love and the serving going together. And if we look at that, I want to look at that word serve there. And in the Greek, it literally means, it's the word douleo, or however you want to pronounce that. You guys will be able, some of the guys will be up to hell. But it's basically come from slave, to be a slave, literally or figuratively, involuntary or voluntary. And then that word again comes specifically, doulos, comes from a slave. And for us these days, it's not such a, maybe not such a term that we use every day, but in those times, biblical times, very much a common thing, having slaves or being a slave, very much a reality of the day. And if you hear about how things operated, it's a bit foreign for us. But those days, it wasn't strange for one to go on, I don't know what day of the week, but to go to the market area of a town or village, and to have a place where you can actually buy slaves. And you would have people standing on a platform that were then for sale to be bought, and then you could go and inspect. It's a bit odd, but you could go and check, you know, is this guy healthy? And I think actually what they used to charge more for the, you know, the stronger guys, and suppose, you know, can work harder type of thing. But it's scary how things work those days. But you could basically then buy a slave, and then suppose depending on who you were and what where you're coming from, you would then treat the slave in maybe better or worse way. But for, in other words, in this context, a slave was at a very specific meaning. And we're going to look a little bit more at that, but that is where he's going with this. He's saying to serve one another into a place where your rights, because the slaves didn't have rights, okay? Your rights don't really count, but the one who you're serving, you know, you're esteeming them higher than yourself, and obviously your master, whoever owns you, they're in charge. And this is immediately, this is something that kind of sits, and it doesn't sit comfortably with us. And were you able to join us for the opening ceremony of the Paralympics? Remember we had it here. For those that weren't able to, this was a really cool setup with the big screen. We'll definitely do that again. So if you can think of an excuse to do that, I'm open for suggestions. Say again. Movie club, yes, that's already on the move. So we're wanting to start the movie club with the language schools. We'll keep you updated. But I think the first one is at the office, so we'll take it from there. Mm-hmm. But I said they must take it here. In any case, but did you see that opening ceremony? First they had the Big Bang, that's Stephen Hawking, and then they had the Big Bang. And then they had the guy with the big book of, what was it? Was it the human rights? Okay. And so there was a clear agenda happening there, but that's okay. I mean, besides all that, I believe the Olympics and the Paralympics were still, there was a lot of favor and a lot of blessing from God on the nation. But the human rights thing is kind of at the core of this, and the whole thing about these are basic human rights, and nobody can take it away, and I've got these rights, and this is kind of my thing, you know. And it appeals to us because, you know, we want to be able to say, yes, nobody can touch this. This is the line in terms of, you know, you don't cross this line type of thing. You know, this is my right, and I have a right to this, and I have a right to that. And that feels good, doesn't it? Yeah, nobody will tell me otherwise. But if we look at how the kingdom operates, we see it doesn't work like that. And that's, you know, humanism, it appeals to us because it's the me, myself, I, Trinity at the center. That's what humanism is about. You know, it's about my rights, it's about me, it's about, you know, I'm basically worshipping myself. So that's why it's kind of it's not very politically correct to say stuff like when you come into the kingdom, your rights go out the window. But that's the good news for this evening. In the kingdom, it works differently. And when we come to Jesus, when we submit to Him as our Lord and our Savior, then that means that. Then He is Lord. And that means He's in charge. And that means if I'm a control freak, I need to trust God. And I need to come to the revelation that stuff that I was holding on to, my rights and my this and my that, I'm going to have to lay them down. Okay, we'll look at a little bit more of that a bit later on. So in the kingdom, it works differently. In the world system we live in, humanism is a big thing. The human rights is the big thing. And in the careers we're in, companies and workplaces, we experience this day by day, which is kind of, it's a bit of a zoo, it's a bit of a jungle, you know, kind of fight your place, fight for your spot there. It reminds, you know, we lived in Johannesburg for a few years, and driving there is like that. You have to fight for your bit of the road. You know, it's like, I remember Erna driving in Cape Town, she was a very relaxed driver, you know, gentle, you know, like Erna is, you know, just beautiful, amazing. And then I remember her parents coming to visit us in Johannesburg, and she was driving. They were like so astounded, not because she was driving badly, just because she was so confident and kind of assertive. You know, that's a nice word, assertive, yes. Because there you have to fight for your bit of the road. Anyway, so in the kingdom, it works differently. Let's see what Jesus says in Matthew 20, 25 to 27. Jesus called them to Himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them." And He says, in other words, this is how it works in the world, but He says, "Yet it shall not be so among you." The kingdom is different. "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave." And again, if He left it there, we would have said, okay, that's cool, you know, we can work with that. The slave thing is pretty clear. But then he quantifies, says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." So again, he says, we follow the example of Jesus Christ, who was the first to do this on our behalf. He came as the King of Kings. He came as the Lord of all. But he came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life. So immediately this places this whole exercise into, I need to trust God. I need to allow the Holy Spirit to work this in me, to make this happen inside of me. Amen. So right away, He says, listen guys, this is the way it works in the world, but in the kingdom, there's a different set of rules. It just works differently. And when we come to Christ, when we come into relationship with Him, the sooner you and I get to grips with how the kingdom operates, how kingdom principles work, you know, the healthier it is for us, and the quicker we can grow in God. So He says here, if you desire to be great, and it's interesting, you know, He finds nothing wrong with that. You see that, isn't it? God, you know, Jesus, it seems here, there's no problem with you wanting to be great, or, you know, aspiring to something, or having a dream in our heart, having something that we aspire to. But He says there, if whoever desires, let him be your servant. In other words, He says, this is the way you go about it, by being a servant. And then He says it again. He says, whoever desires to be first, let him be your slave. And He uses that same word there, which there's no getting around this one. Okay, the slave, it's very clear, very straightforward. There's no rights there. It's somebody whose life is dedicated to somebody else. So there's no, the slave, the slave's priorities don't really matter. The slave's schedule doesn't really get taken into account. There's a laying down of your life for the sake of someone else. This is good news tonight, I know. Just hang in there. Okay. And then He touches on a different kind of serving. just as relevant. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes to Ephesians from verse 5, it says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men." So it seems to, he's speaking to, they're using these the words for different things, but it seems here he's talking to a group of people who have masters. It says, well, your masters according to the flesh. So they are in a position where they're serving somebody in the flesh, in other words, and it doesn't look like they always have a choice in the matter. But he's saying, even then, don't do it as unto men, do it as unto God. So even if you're in that place, do it with sincerity of heart, with fear and trembling, as to Christ. And this we can pull through to many situations in our lives, when we're in our workplace or in your... I don't know about you, but you know these guys, the traffic wardens? Parking wardens? For some reason, there's this funny thing in my heart when I know they bless people and... But there's something I have to deal with there, you know, because they're just doing their job. But now when I see them, and I suppose, maybe it's conviction, you know. In any case. But so there's a few places, there's a few areas in our lives where we are subservient to others. And Jesus very clear, Paul writes here very clearly how we should serve others. In other words, not as wanting to please man, not as with eye service, but as bondservants of Christ. And we're going to look at that word, bondservants of Christ, in a moment. Doing the will of God from the heart, as to the Lord. And now I must admit, the Lord is delivering me from this, but I have this affliction. And actually, I'm much better now, praise God. But in terms of wanting to please people, I was the worst people pleaser that you can imagine. And like I said, God is delivering me. But that is an affliction a lot of us struggle with. It's like a disease. You know, don't? But I remember there was a time where I wanted to please man way more than I wanted to please God. And wanting to please the people around me, whether it be my parents or teachers at that stage or friends or whatever, you know, peers or authorities, was much more important to me than to please God at that stage. And what happens then is, even when you do good works, even when you bless somebody, even when you serve someone, it happens out of a motive of either fear of man or some kind of a need for affirmation or some kind of a need for recognition. And we want to please a person. What's going on here? It's not yet. No, everybody's awake, so it's fine. But the scary thing is when we serve from that angle, normally some person is glorified, and God is not in it. And there's like it happens in the flesh. It's not Holy Spirit inspired, and it says here that we shouldn't operate like that. But he says here, but doing the will of God from the heart. So from the other side, when we serve somebody with the love of God, when we serve in whichever way, and we do it from a point of conviction, wanting to please God rather than man, wanting to being obedient to the word of God, being obedient to the will of God, it brings in a whole new dimension. That's when we happen. It says with good will, doing the will of God from the heart. In other words, there's a conviction of the will of God. And I must, and to be honest with you, that was a massive shift for me. Coming from the point of wanting to please people and being delivered from that to a point where I could experience the difference from that to a place where I now, when we can, I can operate from a place of conviction. And that's such a it brings such a liberty. Because now you're not expecting a response. You know, you're not looking for a specific, you know, you're good, that was great, or thanks for that, or yes, that was amazing. You're not looking for any affirmation. There's no need for a specific response from the person, because the reason I'm going into it is because of obedience to Jesus. So it comes, and in that situation, only God can be glorified. And He will get the glory, and His name will be lifted up. And there's no more fear of man. There's no more need-driven thing going on. Are you with me this evening? I've experienced that amazing liberation where even if the person doesn't receive, or even if there isn't massive, anything happens that you expected to happen, that's fine. Because we didn't do what we did to get that response, that in obedience to God. So he says here, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So then we do it as worship. It's worship unto God. It's not to get a specific response or any of our own agendas. It's worship unto God. Okay. And then you still go, still right. It's warm, I know. Okay. In Matthew 5:43, I'm going to be brief, to 48, Jesus takes us a little bit further. He says, "You have heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But then he says, "But I say to you," and when you read that in the New Testament, you must know, okay, now I must focus. There's a few times where Jesus says that. He says, "It is written," or "It has been said," "but I say to you." And then you must know, he's now going to tell you, this is what was possible under the law, but now I'm telling you, this is how we operate under grace. This is how we now, because we've been empowered by grace. So he says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." So again, he throws that in there at the end, which is a bit scary. So, you know, I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to serve somebody I love. It's easy for me to look after somebody I care about. One of the ladies in Weybridge, Sam, her father passed away yesterday morning. And it's been a prolonged illness, etc. But it's easy for me to go and to serve them and to look after them. It's easy for us as a church family to go and look after her and to love her and to care for her in this season. Because we care, we know this relationship and we care for her. But when it comes to someone you don't get along with, you know, when it comes to somebody, okay, now he gives a few very clear things. Your enemies. I don't know if you have a little black book where you write down your enemies, but those who curse you, those who hate you. I'm not talking about a hit list. I'm just saying somebody maybe you don't get along with. Those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So he's kind of being very, he's not kind of trying to include everybody there. Can you see that? There's nobody can get missed there. And you see, it seems like the tax collectors weren't so cool. You get that subtle hint here. You know, if you do what the tax collectors do, I mean, surely. This morning we had this guy, he works at the HMRC in Weybridge. So I asked him about that, if he qualifies as a tax collector, and he says no. Praise God. But what he's being very clear on again, he says in the world system it works like this. We look out for our own, we look out for your buddies, your family, those who care for you. You scratch my back, I scratch your back, that's how it works. And he says now again, Jesus says, in the kingdom it works differently. And he says, I say to you, in the dispensation of grace, empowered by the grace of God, this is where things get turned upside down. And in terms of difficult situations, you know, that neighbor that doesn't want to speak to you since you drove over the cat. Or there's a difficult situation at work, you know, there's a tense, tense relationships there. When we're in it, I know I've been in them. When you're in it, it's really, you know, when it's a place of I'm going to defend myself and that, and I've got to state my case and they've got to state their case, and there's a kind of this to and fro thing, and it's almost always in the flesh. Do you agree? It's always this thing, and it's uncomfortable, and there's a tension, and it's just terrible. And I believe God wants to give us the grace to come in the opposite spirit. To say, okay, God, I need to first fix my own heart in this situation. See, he mentions quite a few different things. He says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those. So he says, love, bless, do good, and pray. So there's quite a lot there. I would say, start with the pray bit. This is just the prayer. This is not the word. This is just Yaku's interpretation. I've experienced when I'm struggling, the first thing I need to do is I need to trust God to pray for that person. The moment I pray for somebody, I now allow the Holy Spirit to show me what God sees. Because I'm seeing something and I'm not blessed by that, or I'm struggling with this. The moment we pray, now we're asking God, okay, Lord, what is your perspective on this thing? On this, and we get to see this person the way God sees them. And I've experienced immediately my heart changes towards the person. Now I see what God sees. God's blessed, he's impressed, he knows what's going on. And immediately then I'm able to love that person. I'm able to pray for them, I'm able to intercede for them. And then the other stuff becomes easier. I could be able to do good towards this person. I'll be able to bless the person. So I want to encourage you, if you're sitting with something like that, it might be even in church, hopefully not, but if it is, it happens. Okay, just trust God to start with praying for that person. If it's a difficult situation at work, same thing. Start with praying. Trust God to show you his heart, to show you how he sees that person. Are you with me? Just check the person next to you. Are you awake? Okay, cool. So he makes it very clear. Listen, I don't want you to say, but that guy does that, or this guy, or those guys do that. No. He says in the kingdom it works differently. We operate in a different level. Don't compare yourself to what happens in the world. Okay? And he says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So again, it throws it out there into the realm of impossibility, and we know I've got to trust God on this thing. If it's going to be from my own strength or what I feel about it, it's not going to happen. I'm going to have to trust God to change my heart. I'm going to have to trust the Holy Spirit to show me what God's perspective is and what the truth is about this situation. Amen. And I want to encourage us, guys. I really believe there's stuff that the situations God has already set up. And you, where you're sitting now, the Holy Spirit is probably pointing some out to you. There's already stuff set up in your lives. There's an opportunity to walk in this. And I believe there's going to be grace to turn situations around, to transform that very bad relationship into one that bears fruit. Because when you're in that terrible, this way, that way, I'm fighting for my rights and they're fighting for their rights and we're just treading on each other's situation, there's no fruit of the Spirit. Have you noticed that? You're trying to hang on to some of them in your life, but they just disappear. but we need to step out of that, out of the flesh, and step into the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And you know, often it feels like that person is kind of pressing the buttons or whatever, that difficult situation. It's if all the buttons are getting pressed and it's really not a good space. I believe when the Bible talks about people tasting and seeing that God is good, that's what they're doing. They're tasting. Have you ever thought, how do people taste? How are people that don't know God, don't go to church, how do they taste? I reckon they, you know, like any fishermen here? Sometimes the fish, they nibble on the bait. They just check it out. Is this real? Is it the good stuff? And you feel, you see the little movements, and you have to hang on, right? Before the big one, you have to ignore the little movements, and then... But that's what happens. People nibble at you, and it's not comfortable, because they're going to, is this for real? You know, is this person for real? Is this the real thing? And it's not nice, because they're kind of trying to see if something's going to pop out, you know? But that's where the grace of God is for us to firstly to recognize what's happening, to say, okay, Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. Let everything that comes out, let it be love. Let it be the grace of God. Let them see Christ and nothing else. Let them taste and see that you are good. Amen. Amen. There's grace for this, guys. And then 2 Corinthians 4, 5 to 6, Paul mentions this bondservant thing again. And the one context of a bondservant was one where, as far as I have it, you'd have a slave, and there's one or two scenarios in which a slave can actually go free. Okay? So, if this happens now, the slave is either has been bought free, or they've bought their own freedom, or they've been set free, whatever the case may be. What sometimes would happen is this slave would then decide, I'm going to voluntarily lay down my life. I'm going to become a servant, a slave for life to this person. And that's what they then called a bond servant. And they would, some places they actually did this thing where to make it clear, to make the declaration, as far as I remember, they used to nail this guy's ear to the doorpost of the master's house for like a certain period of time. You didn't read that in the Bible, Yochi? No, okay, it's not there. But these days we just use smaller nails and put little things on it. But no, they used to put it on the doorpost, and it's like this declaration of saying, I'm attaching myself to this person for life. I'm laying down my life voluntarily. Nobody's forcing me to do this. This is my decision. And I want to serve them for the rest of my life. That's what a bondservant means, okay? So let's read what... and many of Paul's letters, he starts that off with, he's saying, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Okay? So he starts with that context. He's saying, I exist for the benefit of the kingdom. I exist for the glory of God. There's no other reason that I live. My whole life, my whole being, everything that I am is for Christ. It's for the glory of God. There's no. He starts his letter with us. He says, guys, let me just make this clear. This is who I am. I'm a bondservant. My whole life belongs to Christ. This is me. No rights anymore. No more dreams. No more aspirations. I'm living for Jesus all the way. There's nothing else. So he makes that clear. But let's read the context that he puts it here in 2 Corinthians 4, 5 and 6. He says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So now he's taking it a step further. He's saying, not only are we bondservants of Jesus, but he's saying, we preach Christ Jesus and ourselves your bondservants. In other words, the people he's preaching to, the people he's ministering, saying, we are your bondservants for Jesus' sake. So he's saying, not only am I laying my life down for the gospel, for the sake of Christ, but I understand that also means that I'm laying my life down for other people. Because that's what's on the heart of God as people. Are you with me? That's what the kingdom is about. That is what the gospel is about. And he's saying here, ourselves, we, bondservants, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. So now this is taking a whole different, this is getting uncomfortable now, because this means serving someone to a place where it hurts. Esteeming somebody else higher than myself to a place where it's not comfortable for me. To a place where my own plans come way second if they feature at all. But this again we see so powerfully demonstrated in the life of Christ. And in terms of, I remember on missions and specifically on the Tartrek that cycling intercession trips, those trips we used to do, we used to talk a lot about having to die to the flesh. And it was like a thing. And we used to joke about it, having the flesh have to die so that the spirit can operate in the will of God. But in reality, we were joking about it because we experience it so powerfully. When you're on a fast, or when you're in that cycle and your body is weak and your body is at the end, you know, you're at the end of yourself physically, it's as if the spirit is in charge. It's so much easier. And I remember having on the cycle tour specifically, you know, your body is at the, you're really at the end of yourself, but the intercession we had there, because then it was really just the spirit. There was no more, the body was kind of finished. Thank you. And we could experience it in such a real way that the body is dead, but the spirit is now operating in an amazing way. Unfortunately, and I hope it's not necessary for us to put ourselves through that kind of pain every time. But that's what God has for us, is for us to operate in the spirit in that way. To come to a place where, yes, I understand that to minister to this person, there's going to be a sacrifice. There's going to be to minister Jesus to this person. There's certain things that are going to, you know, even for my own needs and what are priorities for me, we're going to have to be second. Are you with me? So, us being bondservants for others for the sake of Christ. And I believe there's a grace that is available to us, guys, in this season. And again, I want to commend you. The way we serve one another, the way we love one another. The specific lady that lost her dad, Melba, she could stand in front of the congregation after we prayed for her and her son. She was crying, obviously, but she could just say she'd never experienced such support and such love and such amazing family that she's been experiencing. And just as we heard today, even guys, and I want to commend you for that. That's something that God has established. But I believe there's a grace for us to open up the family. To a place where we have that same care, that same love, that same serving one another, but serving those that are not of the household of faith. Those, yes, first of the household of faith, but then the lost sheep of Israel, as the scripture says. The lost out there, those that are so in need of the love of Christ. And even now, I believe your Lord is highlighting stuff in your life, even trusting the Holy Spirit to show you specific situations that you can just ask for God's grace to come into and to turn it around and to minister to somebody, to serve them in a specific way. And I hope I'm gonna give you homework. Okay. Maybe I don't know, maybe I should use a different word. I can see some faces. There's a bad connotation there. Bad, you know, Sunday night, 10:30. that was me, in any case. But my mom used to pull her hair out. I tell you, grace, praise the Lord. I was quite clever, luckily. Just joking. But the homework is, one part's going to happen in small group, and we'll talk about that, in terms of as a small group to trust God, to find a way how we can serve our community in a practical way. But as individuals, in a moment, we're going to ask God for opportunity to serve somebody. Okay, in the next week or three. Don't stretch the timeline too long, okay? I would say start with somebody like your neighbor or a colleague, but don't choose your best friend. Okay? That doesn't count. It's blessed, but for this exercise, trust God to serve somebody maybe that you haven't met. We haven't met all our neighbors. So I've got a plan. Aaron doesn't know about this, but we're going to bake some cool stuff. Yeah. We're going to bake. Okay, no. Aaron, hopefully, is going to bake some cool stuff, and we're going to bless some of the neighbors. Just something small. Something just to say, we've been living here for a few months, but, you know. But trust God to serve somebody in a way that's going to bless them. And you know what? You know how we make, how we do when somebody has their birthday? Do you notice we often buy stuff we like? And okay, you don't do that? Yeah, okay, no, that's good. Because I want to step into that trap often. And Anna says, no, but that's not going to bless them. And I'm like, oh, why? You know, I mean, a multi-tool for a bicycle, that's like an amazing gift. You know? But in the same way, when we want to serve someone, it doesn't help you serve them with something that's going to bless you. You need to pray, especially if you don't know them. You need to say, okay, Lord, what's going to bless my neighbor? I haven't even met them. What's going to bless them? Obviously, if you don't get angel appearing to you, just go with what, like this idea of mine, I believe that's from God. Because I know Erna's baking is a blessing. Amen. So, but trust God for just a bit of insight there and a bit of wisdom. And I'm going to ask that not only you bless somebody or serve somebody, but that you bring the testimonies afterwards. So everybody will get a turn. Amen. Cool. Yeah, exciting. Okay, guys, but I've really got an expectation. I know God's got a grace for us for this, and He's got specific, you know, divine appointments already prepared for us. Amen. Please stand tonight. I'm going to finish with this last scripture. The reason why we can boldly go into this, what God is setting before us here, is because of Christ that has gone before us. And it's so blessed how it came out in the worship and it came out in the words. Christ loved us first. Okay, He laid down His life first. He became a bondservant first. He was obedient to the point of death before He is expecting us to do the same. Are you with me? He's made a way. He's gone before us. He's the older brother. He's done whatever is necessary so that it is possible for us to walk in His footsteps, to follow His example. Let's read 2 Corinthians 4. No, Philippians 2. Sorry. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. So He came from that place of King of Kings, Lord of all, Creator God, humbling Himself. He's about, made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found as in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And that's the only reason why we can say, okay, Lord, in myself I know this is never going to happen, but because You, Lord Jesus, have gone before us, Your grace is more than enough for us. There's an abundance for every good work. And guys, this is one of those things where it's just so uncomfortable. This is so against human nature. This is so against my human rights thing. That we, you know, the moment we yield ourselves to the Lord, I recognize the kingdom is different. I yield to Your, how things work. And I want to trust, I ask for the grace and the wisdom to walk in this. You're going to see something shift. Amen. I want to pray for this person that curses me and that hates me. I want to pray for them. I want to bless them. I want to love them till they just can't take it anymore. Amen. But when we walk into this provision, that's when every knee will bow. That's when every tongue will confess. That's when the glory of God manifests in our lives in such an amazing way. And I just have such an expectation as we're preparing. It's as if the Lord is saying He's prepared situations for each of us. He's prepared that place, that set up there where the glory of God, where He wants the glory of God to manifest. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's whatever situation, but it's prepared so that He will be glorified. Amen. Amen. And the grace for us to truly say, okay, Lord, what does it mean? What does it mean for me to lay down my life? What does it mean for me to die to the flesh, to die to myself, to lay down my life, to take up my cross and to follow You? Yes, I know it means to come, you know, I'm church at a Sunday, I'm a small group, and I know like the stuff that we do, but what does it mean for me at work, what does it mean for your kingdom to come there? For me to lay down my life there? What does it mean? And how can I lay down my life to serve somebody that I don't like, that I don't get along with? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, God. And this is, Lord, even as we stand here, Lord, we know, Lord, this is uncomfortable. Lord, this is. We know it's a truth, God, but we know this is not going to happen in the flesh, God. So we humbly come, Lord. We humbly come and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd make this word flesh in our lives, God, in Jesus' name. Father, we receive it, God, and we thank you, Lord, for the fact that you've gone before us. Lord Jesus, that you came and you humbled yourself. You came in the likeness of men. You came to be amongst us and you humbled yourself. And you came to serve, Lord, and not to be served, God. And we stand in awe of that this afternoon. We still can't get to grips with it, Lord. But tonight we say, God, yes, God, we want to do the same, Lord. We want to firstly, again, say, Lord, let we are come as bondservants of Jesus Christ, Lord. That we declare, Lord, that as Paul does, that I am a bondservant of Christ. That I exist for your glory, Lord. That everything we are, everything we do, every breath is for your glory, Father. It's for the sake of your name. It's for your kingdom to be established, God. There's lots of peripherals, God, but if we cut to the chase, if we get down to the core of things, we exist for you, Father. We exist for your glory. We live for you, God. And you are truly the Lord and King of our lives, God. And God, we even now, Holy Spirit, we pray that you convict, Lord, areas that we need to bring into subjection of your will, Father. Areas that we need to bring under your Lordship, God. And but I thank you tonight for a release of grace, God. Grace to walk in this, Lord. Grace to serve not only one another, but to serve the lost, Lord. To serve the dying people out there, those that are spiritually dying, those that are physically dying, so many that are in need of your love, God, in need of your grace, Father. And I thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you lift up veils from our eyes in the name of Jesus. We cast down every veil and every scale from every eye that is keeping us from seeing what you see, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, even this week, Lord, that you open our eyes, God, that we would see people around us in the way that you see them, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, right now we take authority over every spirit of fear, every fear of man. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We cast off every shackle that has bound us to fear of man and fear of rejection and this whole need for man and human affirmation. We cast it off in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you tonight for a liberty, God, to walk in obedience to you, Father. In the name of Jesus. God, we pray now, we ask in the name of Jesus, we ask for divine appointments this week, Father. God, we ask, Lord, and if you can just agree with me now, we ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes. We ask, Lord, that you would show us, God. We thank you for your grace for those situations, Lord, where we've been walking in the flesh and we need to walk in the Spirit, God. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, this is not for us to feel good about ourselves, God. This is not for us to take another step on the ladder of maturity, God. This is for your name to be glorified, Lord. This, oh, our desires for the name of Christ to be lifted up, Lord. Our desires for people to taste and to see that you are good, Father. And your goodness will lead them to repentance, Lord. So, Lord, we commit this to you, Lord. We ask, Lord, be glorified in us. Be glorified in our lives. Be glorified in our city, Lord. In our communities, Lord, in our workplace, Lord. Be magnified, God, in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, Amen. Amen. Amen.